Morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to start in the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 11. And actually, we're going to be in our Bibles quite a bit this morning. I will have a lot of verses on the screen, but we're going to follow along in our Bibles and read several verses in there this morning. So I invite you to follow along if you can. While you're turning to Luke chapter 11, just like to take a moment and say welcome to everyone here. We are so thankful that we have many of our own members, but also several visitors. And we're thankful that each one of you could be here this morning. We could serve God and worship Him together. Just a few quick things before we begin. If you notice, and I think this is something important for all of you to take notice too, on the back of your bulletin, it looks a little different. And that's because down on the right-hand side, we've listed our deacons just a little differently than we have in the past. Something new we are doing is we are trying to play to the strengths of the men that we have. Instead of just putting a man in charge of something and saying, this is what you're in charge of, take care of it, we're trying to play to their strengths. We have different things that this church does and different areas where we need help in. And so if you notice, there's been some teams set up. And you'll see multiple names there twice. And that's because we feel like those men are capable of helping in those certain areas. And so if you have any questions or concerns, or if you would like to help out in a certain areas, those are the deacons that are in charge of all those different activities and different areas you have going on there. The same thing you will see along with their pictures. If you're a newer member with us or you're visiting, their pictures are going to be on the screen as well before and after services. And so you'll be able to see that and get to speak with them if you need to. But that is something new we're doing. We're trying to focus on leadership the way we see it in the Bible. And the way we see it in the Bible is capable men taking leadership and action in all these different things. And so we're trying to put capable men onto these jobs and where they can help each other, serve together, and serve this church. And so that's something new for y'all to take a look at and just be aware of. You know, I had a coach when I was playing football. You know, football is a very physical sport, very tedious sport, and a lot of injuries happen in that sport. And I had a coach whose go-to answer for everything, even if it wasn't even your foot or your leg or your ankle, he would just say, walk it off, right? If you got hurt, if you weren't feeling well, he'd just say, well, just walk it off. You get a hard hit and you get knocked down on the ground, he says, walk it off and come back in. I was a quarterback. I remember one time I had a sore elbow. In fact, I had some ligament work done on my elbow, and I had a doctor's note that says, you know, I couldn't throw for a week. He says, you know, just walk it off. And I said, that's not something I can just walk off, right? And I'll never forget, in one practice, one kid broke his femur bone, and he's sitting there screaming, and it was kind of the joke. Coach is going to come up and tell him to walk it off. And sure enough, coach came up. He says, he just needs to walk it off. We said, coach, you can't walk on a broken femur. But that was just his go-to answer. You'll walk it off. Just walk it off. You'll be all right. You know, without realizing it, Christians have a go-to answer for a lot of problems that we have. And it's just pray. Just pray about it, right? You're going through a difficult time. Well, just pray about it. Are you struggling financially? Well, pray about it. Did you lose your job? Well, pray about it. You want a better job? Pray for it. I mean, there's so many different things that we just, it's our go-to answer. Pray for it. Prayer is often defined as talking with God. And it's almost become the cure-all for any spiritual disease or spiritual sickness or even physical that we are going through. If we're struggling, pray. If we're hurting physically, pray. Joel Osteen, a famous televangelist, has said on several occasions that all we have to do to obtain spiritual and physical success is pray. Well, if that's all it takes, then how come more people aren't millionaires and more people aren't suffering from cancer and the sicknesses in this world? If the easy answer is just to pray, then how come more people don't do it? You know, sometimes I wish it was that easy, that when I'm hurting, just pray and everything will magically go away. Sometimes I wish that was that easy. If I wanted a little bit more in this life, if I wanted to get ahead, all I had to do was just pray and everything would work itself out. In this quarter, we're focusing on leadership. In the past several weeks, we've looked at how we have a good shepherd who is leading us and how we as his sheep need to follow his example. Remember last week we looked at the example of forgiveness that Christ left for us. But today we're going to talk about prayer. And we're going to look at what it looked like in the shepherd's life. Why did Jesus pray? And what did he pray for? What was the purpose? Was it his go-to answer? I'll answer that question right now. I think yes, prayer was his go-to answer. But for something much different than what we do today is just throw it out as a, we'll pray and this will happen, or pray and that will happen. If I pray for something, will it automatically be given to me? Is prayer the cure-all for whatever it is I'm going through? This morning, we're going to look at several different instances on Jesus praying and what it meant for Jesus to pray and what it means for you and I to pray. And we're going to look at some I think, examples that we've probably all seen and heard of before, but maybe look at some things from a different light and look at, well, why was Jesus praying? What was he doing? And how can we better follow the shepherd in our prayer lives today? First question I want to ask this morning is why did Jesus pray? You know, when you look at Jesus praying throughout the Bible, so many people ask this question, why did Jesus even have to pray? If he was the Son of God, and the way we define the Son of God is he is God, right? We'll look at that in just a moment as well. But we believe Jesus to be God. So why did he have to pray? If we define prayer as speaking to God or talking with God, if he is God, why did he have to pray? The first thing that most people think of is just the idea of one reason he prays is just to be an example to others. And that's something you see here in Luke chapter 11. Notice in Luke chapter 11 in verse 1, after he had, in chapter 10, he had just come from Mary and Martha, and there's that great old dilemma between do we worship or do we serve, right? Well, after that, in chapter 11, it says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." To me, this is one of the most important things about prayer that we can understand. Why did Jesus pray? Well, it was obviously an example to his disciples. I think, as we'll see in just a moment here, that he prayed so often and so much that eventually his disciples were just saying, "Well, you need to teach us to pray." It was slowly starting to rub off on his disciples. And they even said, "John prays. John the Baptist prays. And he taught his disciples. This is obviously something that's important. If John's doing it and taught his disciples, you teach us to pray, Lord." And so I think one reason that Jesus prayed was to show others the importance of what prayer is and what prayer can do. That if prayer is actually speaking and talking with God, that's not something to be taken lightly. And we're going to look at, and this, I made this the first point this morning, because we're going to look at so many times where Jesus is simply speaking with God. And if we're not careful, we just kind of gloss over that fact. Speaking with God. I mean, so many times what we want is we want God to speak to us. We want God to tell us something, give us a sign. But yet we have the opportunity to speak with Him. And that's not something to take lightly at all. And I'll make this point clear. I don't think Jesus was doing this to be seen like the Pharisees. But as he says in Matthew chapter 5, I think he's being the light of the world here. It was his job to let people see the light, and in turn they learned to pray and glorify our Father in heaven. But more importantly than this, as being an example to others, let's remember that even though he was God, he had a relationship with God the Father. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." As a young boy, we see in the book of Luke in chapter 2, we won't read these verses just for time's sake, but as he was teaching in the synagogue and as he was growing up, it says, "As a young boy, he increased in favor with God and with men." There was a relationship there, and he was increasing in favor with God. Notice what John says in John chapter 11 in verses 41 and 42. It says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now this verse, I think, helps illustrate both of those points. He says, one, I know that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. That is, there's a relationship there together. But also he says, I'm not just asking because I know you hear me, but because of these people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe you sent me. There's an example to be set there as well. You know, think about this for just a moment. If you have a relationship with somebody, we talk to them. Marriage counselors have often said that one of the first signs a relationship is in trouble is when communication is no longer present. When you have a strong relationship with someone, you want to share everything with them. You want to share the happy times. But you even want to share the sad times. You communicate your feelings and emotions. If you're upset, you need to tell that person. If you're happy, you should tell that person. Think about it with your spouse for just a moment, or even the relationship between a parent and a child, or a grandchild and a grandparent. You talk to each other because you love one another. You communicate. You appreciate one another. And that's exactly what prayer is. That Jesus had such a strong relationship with God, even while He was separated from Him, Jesus needed to speak to Him. Have you ever been separated from a loved one before? We live in a day and age where we have cell phones and we have FaceTime and Skype and all those things. So even when we're away, we could still talk to them. But have you ever been away from somebody that you see every day? And it's almost, you sound bad saying this, but it's almost like when you're with someone every day, it's almost like second news, right? It's old news, and you don't speak to them maybe, but when you're away from each other, maybe you have to go out of town on business or on vacation, you're separated. Well, then you realize you start missing each other. You want to talk to them. Brooke and I, for about a year of our relationship, had to do long distance before we were married, and it was excruciating. We couldn't be together. We were 3 hours apart on some occasions on the time change there. And all we wanted to do was just speak to each other. Sometimes we couldn't because she was in class while I was doing this, and then the time changed and I was in bed while she was awake, and it was, you know, vice versa. And it's difficult being away from somebody that you love. But it's when we're away from them that we want to speak to them even more. And that's what I see in Jesus. We talk so often about how Jesus left his throne of glory, how he left heaven to come down here and be with us. But very rarely do we focus on the idea that he chose to separate himself from God for the time being. He had always been with God. We just read in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Word was God, the Word was God. That was at the very beginning. And yet Jesus still found time to talk to him. He wanted to talk to God. And if we're going to pray like Jesus prayed, we need to have a relationship with God, but we need to want to talk to Him. I think sometimes we feel like God is old news. Where we might think about Him every day. We come together on Sundays, on Wednesdays. We worship Him and study Him. But as we go throughout the day of our daily grind, He just kind of becomes old news. It gets put in the back of our minds and we don't speak to Him maybe like we should. Sometimes our relationship with God gets hard and rocky, just like maybe it does in marriages and friendships. But that doesn't mean we don't communicate. Even if we haven't spoken to God in years, maybe sometimes it's time to pick up your end of the phone and start talking. Because as Jesus said here, I thank you that you have heard me and I know you always hear me. God's always there to hear us. But I want to notice just a few things about some of the prayers Jesus prayed. We could be here for months talking about the prayers of Jesus and the things He prayed for. But I want us to notice a few things about the prayers that He prayed and maybe some of the things that we need to start thinking about in some of our prayers. You start looking at Jesus' prayers. One thing He did often was Jesus prayed for others. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, it says this, "Then little children were brought to Him that He might put His hands on them and pray." In John chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." This he's speaking to God on behalf of his apostles. He's about ready to be betrayed, and he says, "I'm praying for them." But he takes it a step further just several verses later in the same chapter in verse 20. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their words." Isn't it humbling to know that here Jesus is even praying for you and I? That moments before his betrayal and death on the cross, he's praying for other people. He's praying for his apostles. that they may be bold and strong in teaching his name. And then not only for them, he says, I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and I. And he prayed for us. And that's an attribute that Jesus was always doing. He's praying for other people. Jesus prayed for people to be healed, to be saved. Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was to help save the world. This is who he prayed for, you and I. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, and this is just me, myself, and I'm talking about, and maybe it describes you too. If we're not careful in our prayers, it becomes about me, myself, and I. That most often when I pray, it's about the things that I need done or I would like. Lord, be with me as I do this. Lord, be with me as I get a new job interview or as I talk to somebody about this. Lord, be with me because I'm dealing with this or I'm sick or I'm suffering or whatever the situation. And I don't think that's wrong. Jesus prayed for himself as well. It was in the garden, as we'll look at in just a few moments, that he was asking for the cup to pass from him. So it's not wrong to pray for ourselves. But what I'm saying is, if we're not careful, what happens is it slowly starts to become about ourselves. You know, we have a bulletin full of sick people, both members here and members other places or family members of some of our members. How often do we take that bulletin out and not ask for anything for us, but ask for something for them? How often do we take out our directories and look at each person's face that is a member at this church and pray for them? How often do we listen to the announcements and hear that so-and-so is dealing with this and so-and-so is sick and so-and-so has this problem going on, or so-and-so is happy because this happened and this happened? Do we pray for those people? Or are they no more than just an announcement after our services, or a picture in our directory, or a name in our bulletin? Jesus prayed for others. When all the attention should have been on Jesus because he was hours away from being betrayed and put to death, he was praying for others. The Pharisee that prayed, thank you, Lord, I'm not like other people because I tithe, I give, I fast. We know what his problem was. He was too focused on himself. Again, not bad to pray for things that we need. Go to God in prayer for our problems and our difficulties and our thankfulness. But sometimes we just need to take a moment and maybe focus on other people as well, just like Jesus did. But Jesus didn't just pray for others. There's something else that Jesus did, and that is Jesus prayed with others. Jesus made this a habit. Are you still in the book of Luke? Let's turn to chapter 9 and verse 28. Chapter 9 and verse 28, this is typically known as the Mount of Transfiguration. But notice why Jesus went up on that mountain before he was transfigured and Moses and Elijah show up. Notice why he was up there. In verse 28 it says, Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. I think that's interesting. He took his little inner circle here. That's what we call those three, Peter, James, and John. He took them up on this mountain, and the reason was to pray. Can you imagine being with Jesus alone? Just you and him and two other of your closest friends praying with Jesus? Can you imagine how special that must have been? We know something else happened on that mountain, but that's, to me, for the point of this lesson, is besides the point. That Jesus went up there to pray with his, I guess we can say, closest apostles, Peter, James, and John. He prayed with people. We saw in just a few moments ago that he was praying with children. People were bringing the children to him that he might pray for them. Well, he was praying with them as well. And this is something, as we looked at, it was an example to others. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the apostles remembered this. It says, These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is something the apostles remembered Jesus did. He prayed with his apostles. Well, the apostles continued to pray together. This is what brought people closer together. They're communicating not only with one another, but with God. the most special relationship we can have. And this is, again, not something to be taken lightly. I think sometimes, especially when we look at public prayer in regards to a worship service, we have opening prayers, and we have closing prayers, and we have the Lord's Supper prayers. But rarely do I think we appreciate what it means to simply just pray together. That we kind of view the opening prayer as, well, that's what kicks us off. It's kind of our opening ceremonies, right? Since we're all in Olympic spirit, it's our opening ceremonies to the Sunday morning worship service. Our opening prayer. And that's the time where people are typically still filtering in and we're getting settled. We're getting bags down. We're getting Bibles out, phones out, whatever it is that you have your Bible on. And we're just, you know, the opening prayer is just, that's all it is, just the opening prayer. That's when we get to talk to God as a group of people, of God's people. The Lord's Supper prayer often just becomes what we do after the talk and before we actually partake of the emblems. Instead of focusing on what we're actually praying on, the closing prayer, to many people, is the best prayer of all. Because that means the preacher's done. Lunch is coming. Bags are being packed. Bibles are being put away. Kids are getting a little fussy. Rarely do we appreciate what it means to just pray together. That's one of the most special times of forming relationships of bond and bonds of communication, not only with God, but with each other. It's one of the most intimate things we can do as brothers and sisters in Christ, to gather together and to simply pray, to talk to God, to be connected that way. You know, there's a reason many families will do this. I know ours does. Many times before meals, we'll say a prayer, but we like to hold hands. Not always. Sometimes, Landon always loves to say the prayer, and sometimes Brooke and I aren't even at the table. We're still putting things on the table or getting some drinks, and he's already sitting there, "Dear God, thank you for," you know, and we say, "We got to wait for everybody. Let's wait till we all get to the table." But sometimes, you know, we fold our hands, but there's many times we just like to hold hands, and we'll pray for the meal, and we'll do that real quickly. And maybe your family is similar, where you hold hands, and I think there's another reason for that, because it's again, signifies the bond that you have together speaking with God. Yes, it might be only one person saying the prayer, but it's on behalf of all. The bond holding us together is we're all speaking with God, communicating with God, and really building each other up. But on the contrary to that, Jesus not only prayed with others, there's many times where Jesus prayed alone. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." There was just many times where he would just go by himself. He would withdraw with himself into the wilderness and simply pray. Turn with me to the book of Mark in chapter 1 and notice a few things of what Mark says about Jesus praying. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." So this time, he's not only withdrawing himself, he's going to a solitary place. Typically, solitary means you're alone, or a deserted place, some of your versions might say, because there's no one else there. But this time, he did it a long while before daylight. Still in Mark, and in chapter 6, Mark would say in verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray." Now this is the famous story when Jesus walked on the sea. All of his apostles were in the boat. And as they saw Jesus coming, walking on the sea, he was alone. They were a little frightened. But just another instance where Jesus, he sent other people away, and he himself had to go pray. Sometimes it's good just to be by ourselves and pray. Sometimes it's in those solitary moments where we can be the most honest with God. Even though He knows our hearts, and that's another thing that comes up with prayer. God knows what I want, and He knows what I want to pray for. But sometimes it's in those solitary moments where we can just open up and be honest and be real with God. I love what Psalm 46 and verse 10 says here. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I understand this psalm is not about prayer per se, but I think sometimes what we need to just understand is we all need to take a moment and just be still. Just take a moment by ourselves, be still, and know that we are praying to God. Sometimes I think that's what Jesus did. Jesus was followed by crowds. He had a busy life. People always wanting to be healed. People wanting to see signs, see miracles. And I think sometimes Jesus just needed to be still. To go away for a few moments, whether it was early in the morning, in the middle of the night, while He sent His apostles out onto the sea, and just simply pray to God. Sometimes I wish we would know what He prayed for, what He prayed about. I don't think we'll ever know unless we ask Him one day when we see Him. But it sounds like Jesus made sure He had time just to be still and pray to God all by Himself. Matthew chapter 6, He tells us that we can go to a room and shut the door. You know, sometimes we get so busy with life. We have kids that need to be at class, kids that need to be in sports. We have work that needs to be done, projects that need to be done, deadlines that need to be met, sports games we need to watch, fill in the blank. There's so many things we need to do. And sometimes the best thing we can do if we're busy and we're stressful is just to take a step back and be still and talk to God. How many of us can say that in this last week, we purposefully, I want us to think about this, purposefully, not just we found ourselves driving and thinking, oh, I need to pray, or we're about ready to deal with a tough situation and say, maybe I should pray real quick. But we purposefully, that means we thought about it, we planned time to spend alone with God. I haven't. But yet that's what we see Jesus do, our good shepherd. I think He was giving us an example, something we needed to follow. That He made sure, even if it was waking up early, you know, we'll wake up early for several things. Brooke and I have tried waking up early this past couple weeks to start exercising. And every time that alarm goes off, I feel like, oh my goodness. There was even one or two mornings we were like, should we push this off until later in the day? And we said, yeah, let's do that. We'll wake up early to exercise. We'll wake up early to finish homework. We'll wake up early to take kids places. We'll wake up early to do so many things. How many of us have recently woken up early just to pray? Because Jesus did. How many of us have taken that time just to simply pray alone, to spend time one-on-one with God? And many times what we see here, and this isn't, I don't think, a necessity, but it's something just to take note of, what we see Jesus do when He was praying alone, He prayed in nature. Do you ever realize that Jesus could have gone anywhere to pray? Jesus could have prayed anywhere. He could have prayed in someone's home. He could have prayed wherever He was. What if Jesus, instead of waking up and leaving to go to a mountain or to go somewhere to pray, what if He just opened His eyes, let everyone else sleep, and just prayed right there silently? He could have prayed anywhere, but Jesus often found Himself going somewhere in nature. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "Now it came to pass in those days He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Psalm 19 and verse 1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." How many of us have been able to look out, taking a break from our busy lives, and let the heavens declare the glory of God? And let the firmament, that is this world, this earth we live on, show God's handiwork. I think Jesus, even when He was here as a man, He remembered that this world, this nature that He had all around Him, that was God's doing. It was God's handiwork. And they declared the glory of God. We sing a song. We don't sing it regularly here. However, a few years ago when we had a VBS, this was our theme, and we use this as our theme song. It's often just referred to as the mountain song, but I want to read to you just a few lyrics from that. It says, "Oh Lord, I need a mountain to climb on, just a quiet place to go and know you're there. Oh Lord, I need to spend some time with you, spend the night with you, dear Lord, in prayer. The greatest friend you'll ever find is on a lonely mountain. The highest high you'll ever feel is when you kneel to pray. The brightest light you'll ever see is when you close your eyes. Oh Lord, you are my first love. At last I realize." Just the idea of sometimes we might need to take a break. Maybe go out in God's creation and say a simple prayer. I'll never forget at Florida College, we had a mandatory chapel. Every morning we had to be in chapel. And it's one of those things where you might look down on me for saying this, but as a student, I know we should want to be in chapel every day. But as a student, the last thing you want to do is wake up and go to chapel. They give you 5 cuts in chapel, and you better believe, I think most students used all 5, right? You're tired. Maybe you stayed up late the night before. You have homework. You have a paper you could be working on. And chapel sometimes was just the speakers weren't good and the songs weren't good. The same thing that people say about worship services, right? And sometimes it was better to use a skip. There was one day that so many people got excited for because there was typically a week where we would not meet in the chapel on campus. We would meet, there was a little river walk that had some benches, and you would look out over the river. And in Florida, we would try to do it in the spring while it wasn't all hot and muggy. But there was just, the green trees, and you had the moss hanging from the trees, and you would hear birds, and you would hear toads. And you would just, you were kind of just immersed down there, down by the river. And it was everyone's favorite week because they didn't take roll. And so as everyone's flooding down to chapel down by the river, people would just kind of, they're not going to check and see if we're there. So people left. They went to the cafeteria. They went back to bed, whatever it was. To me, I'll be completely honest, that was my favorite week. There was something about sitting right by the water, watching the water flow, listening to the animals, just seeing the green. And then singing songs, reading the Bible, saying a prayer. It might sound kind of, cliche or Hallmarkish, but those are the times where I've felt closest to God. Those of you who are hunters or campers, you might understand that feeling. Because it's something where you just take a step away from life. And you're not just speaking to God surrounded by His creation. Jesus did that. Jesus did that regularly. And that's something that we need to realize. That when Jesus prayed, this wasn't just something He did because He felt like He had to. Jesus prayed regularly. We've already looked at in chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "So He often withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed." Don't overlook that word "often." That this was His habit. This was His custom. That He withdrew Himself. He often withdrew Himself so He can go pray with God. If you're still in the book of Luke, turn with me to chapter 21. In chapter 21, and starting in verse 37, notice what Luke says there. It says, "In the daytime He was teaching in the temple, but at night He went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to Him in the temple to hear Him." So He would go teach in the temple, and then He would go pray at night on the mountain called Olivet. Now, skip over to the next chapter, chapter 22 and verse 39. Listen to what it says there. "Coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives, and He was, as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him." Luke is setting a precedence here that not only did Jesus pray, notice we've stayed in Luke quite a bit to look at some of these prayer scriptures today. Not only did He pray, but He did it a lot. And I love what chapter 22 and verse 39 says, as he was accustomed. That is, this is something Jesus did. We all have customs in our family, or traditions, we might call them. We all have, especially around holidays, we all have things that we do and our families do every year. This is what Luke is trying to say about Jesus. As he was accustomed, this is where he would go. He would go to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and he would go out there to pray. Have you ever wondered? Many people don't ever think about this. As Jesus was sitting there in the upper room, he tells his apostles, someone is going to betray me. Somebody here is going to betray me. That person left, right? Judas left. Have you ever thought about how Judas knew where Jesus was? See, we don't think about that, do we? Judas knew where Jesus would be. The mob comes marching out of Jerusalem. They march up the Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, and there's Jesus praying. How did Judas know? Because that's where Jesus was. That's where he always was. So it's almost as if, now I'm putting something in here, I understand, but Judas went and says, you want to know where Jesus is? I have one guess. He's praying. That's where he's going to be. And that's exactly where they found him. And what was he doing when they found him? Praying. You know, life gets busy, as we've said so many times this morning. And there are so many things eating at our time and at our schedules. And honestly, prayer is not a priority that many people focus on, because in the midst of the rat race of life, it's just something that is not thought about. That prayer is something we do at church or before meals or only when times get difficult. But one thing I want us to notice about Jesus, and if we're really going to follow the Good Shepherd, is Jesus found time for prayer. Jesus made time for prayer. And the question we have to ask ourselves as his sheep, are we doing the same? Can we say that we have made time this week or today to pray? Can we say that as we pray in our worship service, it's not just the opening and closing prayer, but we are getting to communicate with God? And if we're going to truly understand what prayer is, a couple things Jesus, I think, understood about prayers is not all prayers are created equal. There were times when Jesus prayed short prayers. There was times when Jesus would simply, as he broke the Lord's, or as he instituted the Lord's Supper, he just gave thanks. But then there was times he prayed for hours. I think we can conclude from the Garden of Gethsemane that as he brought Peter, James, and John a little way, and he says, you sit here and pray while I go pray. He came back to his three apostles who were asleep. He said, could you not stay awake for an hour? And then he left and prayed some more and came back. The apostles were already asleep, which I think we can conclude was probably about another hour. I mean, sometimes Jesus prayed all night, as we looked at tonight. And he prayed for different reasons. Sometimes it was for people. Sometimes it was for himself, as we looked at already. Sometimes the prayer was as simple as, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We understand in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells his readers there, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He's describing different kinds of prayers, and Jesus understood that. I think sometimes what we get in our mind is, when I pray, I need to pray a certain thing every time, a certain way every time, and that's just not true. If you're dealing with a sickness, you're not going to pray the same prayer as dealing with the birth of a child. If you just graduated high school or college, you're not going to pray the same prayer of thanksgiving that you're going to pray at a funeral where you lost somebody you love. What I think we see every time prayer is given in the Bible is we see prayer coming from the heart. We see prayer coming from the heart of the person. And those prayers are a direct line up to God. Another thing we need to understand, and this is something that we say very often, but we just need reminders of it over and over again. All prayers are answered, but not our way. I often hear people say, God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't hear me. God didn't answer the prayer that I prayed to Him. I've been praying for years. I've been praying for months. Whatever it is, how many times did I have to pray? God never answered me. And I look at them, I say, well, I don't necessarily think that's true. Sometimes the answer we get is not the answer we want. Parents, we understand that, don't we? Landon's getting into the phase now that as we go to stores, especially a place like Target or Walmart or... boy, it was a nightmare when my folks were here last month because all he has to do is ask the question, can I have this? He gets the answer he wants from me, mom, peepaw, right? Toys, clothes. If he asked for it, how dare me, mom, peepaw ever say no to their precious grandchild? Then Brooke and I look like the bad guys when we say, no, let's put that away, right? But that's a parent's job. But Landon's starting to figure out he's not always going to get the answer that he wants to get. When he asks for something, sometimes the answer is no. But you also understand as a parent, you will never leave a child just simply hanging, right? If a child asks something and we just ignore them, what kind of parent are we? Jesus would even bring that up. If your child asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a rock, he would say. God hears our prayers and He answers them. But it's even with Jesus, as Jesus was praying in the garden, three times Jesus asked for an easier path. He said, let this cup pass from me. Jesus didn't want to go through with the pain and the suffering and the torture. He didn't want to go through with His death. If there was another way, I'm sure Jesus would have taken it. There's another way to do what Jesus did to have the same outcome, that is forgiveness of sins, and He could go back and sit on His throne of glory. He would have done it. He didn't want to go through all that. But He says one of the most profound statements, and it's something that we would do well to learn. He says it in Matthew 26, verse 39, but also Luke 22 and verse 42. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Another way we say that is, not my will, but your will be done. I sat in a class on prayer with Don Truex, a preacher down in Temple Terrace, Florida. And he says, this is the hardest prayer to pray. We're communicating with God. And after everything we ask, after everything we want, after all these prayers and petitions and intercessions and supplications, at the end, Jesus was able to pray, it's not my will, it's your will that's going to be done. He says it's the hardest prayer to pray because at that moment we're giving up everything we want and we prayed for and we're saying, it's in your hands, God. If you decide to answer my prayer yes, great. But if you decide to answer my prayer no, that's great also. And that's what Jesus understood about prayer. Especially in that moment when He was about to be betrayed and He was about to be tortured and put to death, as Jared looked at this morning. He said, it's not my will, but as you will. The best way we learn to do something is to watch it be done. Jesus gave us the example. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think in doing so, He not only showed His disciples how to pray, but He showed each and every one of us. Paul said that we should pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And up until His last breaths, Jesus was doing just that. Speaking to the Father and showing us exactly what a good shepherd does. Would you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we've looked at this morning, prayer is such a special thing. It's a special thing to pray alone. It's a special thing to pray for people. But to pray with people and to pray with You is something that we shouldn't take lightly. We come before you as many people, but we come before you as one family, thanking you for this opportunity to worship you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give each and every one of us. We pray that as we go throughout the rest of our lives here, that we can continue to come to you, not just when we need you the most, but even when we're thankful, when we're happy, and when we're joyous. We say so often that we're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection that he went through here, but we're thankful for the example that he left. As we look at his example of prayer, and as he prayed for others, and he prayed with others, we pray that we can continue to live that example. We're thankful for this church here. We're thankful for each and every member. We're thankful for our elderly and the examples that they've left us. We're thankful for those elderly people, and although they might be hurting, they choose to be here. They're a good testament of what a life in your service looks like, and it's something that each one of us should strive for. We're thankful for the grandparents that are in this audience as they try to be that example and teach their kids and their grandkids. We're thankful for the parents. Continue to be with them that they may teach their kids about you. Teach them how to pray, just as Jesus taught his disciples. We're thankful for each and every child here. We're thankful for all those children that you said are so innocent. We pray that we can look to them as an example to see what innocence looks like. That we may listen to their prayers as they pray for some of the simple things that we often forget about. We pray for our college kids, our high school kids, our students, that as they go out into the world, maybe people can see them praying. They could see them worshiping you. We pray for our young adults, that you may continue to be with them, strengthen them, whether they're married or single, that they live their lives in this secular world, this dark, sinful world, that they not be pulled away, that they be the examples to their friends, to their families. We pray that as a congregation, we can continue to be the light in this community and the light in this world. We pray that we never forget what prayer really means. We pray that we never forget this communication we have with you. It's not something to take lightly. We're not talking to nobody, but there's somebody else on the other end, that you're listening to us. You've always listened to us, and you will always answer us. We pray that as we go throughout our lives, we can understand more what it means to be your children, what it means to serve you and worship you. We pray you be with the sick of this congregation. Be with the sick all over. We know that you are a merciful God and that you love everybody. We pray that you can comfort those who are hurting. We pray that you can heal those who are sick and who are hurting. We pray that you will heal all of us of our sickness of sin. In everything we do, Father, we want what we want. We'll ask for what we want. And many times we expect you to give us the answer we want. But if there's one thing we can remember in all of our prayers and in all of our dealings, it's not our will, but your will be done. Whatever that looks like, whatever that may be, we know that you're in control. We're so thankful, again, for this avenue of prayer. We're thankful for all these people here today. May we be strengthened and encouraged to go out and to pray, and to show others the light in this world. And it's in your Son's most holy name we pray, and amen. Maybe you're here this morning, and these are some of the first times you've ever looked at prayer. What it means to pray to God and have a relationship with God. Having a relationship is a special thing. We understand that as parents and children. We understand that it's between spouses. We even understand that between brothers and sisters in Christ. But to have a relationship with God and with Christ, there's nothing better. There's only one way to do that, as Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to spend eternity with our Father, if you want to spend eternity with Him and with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, if you want to be able to see God, be with Him, as Revelation says, not just speak to Him through prayer, but spend eternity with Him, there's an opportunity to give your life to Him now. Don't wait until it's too late. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Bury your old self, the man of sin, and rise in newness of life and start living your life today. there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand, as we sing.